the things that that he was supposed to do. And again, phobias are real, okay? They are. Fear is real. What I want to talk about tonight is I want to emphasize the fact that we need to give faith, not fear, the upper hand, okay? If we ever lived in a time where there is a lot of fear in our lives, a lot of new fear too, things that that we've never dealt with, situations that that a lot of us had never seen before, this is it, okay? And that fear is real. And my message tonight, and in no way, shape, or form am I trying to make light of that fear or reduce that fear or the realness of that fear or the situation. But again, I think as Christians, it's absolutely imperative that we understand if there was ever a time that we live by faith and thrive on faith from God, it's now. It really is. So that's where we're going to go with this tonight. I'm going to start out by painting a pretty bleak picture, but unfortunately, it's not going to be anything new to any of us in here, okay? All we have to do is walk out the door, go to work, turn on the TV, turn on the radio. The situation that our country is in, the situation that our world is in, is, like I said, it's new to a lot of us, but it's not new to God. And it's important for us to understand and remember that. So let's take a look at what is going on, and the fact that over the last 7 months we have seen such a drastic change, not only in our world but especially in our country. Now, when we first started hearing about the COVID and the entire situation, started in China and it was overseas, we really didn't have a lot of concern about it right then. Okay, it wasn't in our wheelhouse. It wasn't on our front door. Yes, we were paying attention. We were hoping that it would never make it to our shores, but you know, it unfortunately didn't take long to come into our country, and we've seen the results of that. Okay, and it has caused a lot of fear and a lot of stress in a lot of lives all over the country. And as it continues to surge, we thought we had had the better of it. We thought we had probably seen the worst of it, but as we know. It continues to grow and it continues to spread in new and different places throughout our country. And again, that fear is real. It is rapidly spreading. It's potentially dangerous. All of the stuff that we hear about this this awful disease is true and it is real. And it's important, even as Christians, that we follow the leading of and the common sense of how to deal with this, not only in our own lives but within our within groups of people and different things of that nature. Now let's add a little more black paint to this this picture and look what's going on in a lot of our major cities throughout the country now. The actual uneasiness and the rioting and the anarchy that's actually taking place, it can be very overwhelming. Everything that is going on in this country right now can be very overwhelming, even to the Christian, and at times especially the Christian, because we start wondering, where is God in the middle of all this, in the midst of all this? Where is God? Why is he allowing this to happen? Why are we experiencing this thing? We've been a faithful nation, you know, for the most part to God for a long time, but we also know that our nation has declined greatly with our faith and the things that we allow. You know, so one of the big questions that are being asked, is this a judgment of God? Is this, what is going on? So it causes a lot of concern within our lives daily, okay? And again, it's not just something that we hear about or see about or read about when we turn on the television or open up a newspaper or anything of that nature. It's on our front door now. It's affecting all of us. And again, needless to say, when it seemed so far away, before it got to this country, again, we kind of gave it to, it was somebody else's problem, it wasn't ours, okay? But now it is our problem, and it's something that we're having to deal with daily, both the COVID and the upheaval of a lot of places in our society. Some of the things that kind of added to all that stress and to that bleakness is when the COVID verse started, what was a lot of things that we saw? We saw a lot of hoarding by individuals of different things. Did you ever think that you would read headlines in the paper where people get into a fist fight standing in line at Walmart over toilet paper? Okay, that's how desperate things became, and just kind of gives you an idea of what, just how bad it can be or could be, and at times was. Again, and then the civil upheaval that we're seeing each and every day, and it's actually overtaking the importance or of the in the news cycle, anyways, actually overtaking the importance of the COVID situation that we're dealing with. There's not a day that goes by that we can't read about the riots out in Portland, Oregon, and different places like that. And we see and we understand that in spite of the fact we see motives, we see different motives in their actions and what they're real about. When they're claiming one thing, their motivations are probably a little bit different. So we've painted a pretty bleak picture here, okay? And again, it's something that we're all aware of and dealing with every single day now, and we understand that. But instead of dwelling on that, instead of dwelling what the motives are of the civil unrest, and instead of dwelling on possible mistakes that have been made on how the COVID situation has been handled, I want to take us in a different direction tonight. I want to remind us about God, okay? That God is still in control, all right? That God still has not left us. He has not abandoned us, okay? Part of the problem with a lot of us is that we've never seen anything like this. We could compare, some of the stress and the fatigue of this situation to 9/11, okay, and how we all felt days after the towers went down and the Pentagon and all that situation that happened after that. But I think to really historically to go back, we'd have to go back clear back about 90 years to the time of the Great Depression, to really kind of get the same desperate feeling that we feel in this country then that we did now, okay. So, but does anybody remember what President Roosevelt said about the fear or dealing with the fear during the time of the Great Depression? Mrs. Nicely, do you remember what that was since you were there? Yes. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That's exactly right. And that's a point of emphasis that I want to make today. And I want to back it up scripturally. Okay. So again... The fear was real then, the fear is real now, okay? The situation is there. But despite everything, we need to remember God, all right? We need to remember who God is. We need to remember what God is. We need to remember the promises of God. We need to remember the authority of God. We need to remember God's love, God's promises. We need to remember God every single day. And we need to put an emphasis on remembering what God has promised us, where God has brought us out of from before, both as a country and as individual believers. We must, but as Christians, we must especially, we are people of faith, okay? And now is a time that faith must be so real and so evident in our lives, in spite of everything that's going on in our country and around the world. It's important, okay, that we don't give in to this fear and this panic. Why? Why is that important? Because we would become completely and totally useless to the cause of Christ if we let that fear overwhelm us and engulf us completely. All through the scriptures, okay, and here's where I made a comment earlier that, not being afraid, okay, or not allowing this fear to overcome us can be backed up in the scripture. All through the scriptures, be not afraid is a common theme. Whether it was the Israelites trapped on the shores of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army closing in close behind, right, or facing powerful enemies who were as terrifying giants in their eyes, the word was, do not be afraid. In the New Testament, when the angel came to Mary to tell her she would give birth to Christ, when the shepherds in the fields encountered a band of angels proclaiming Messiah's birth, when the woman came to the tomb of Jesus that first Easter morning, and angels appeared announcing that Christ was risen. In each of these cases, the first word was, do not be afraid or fear not. Okay? So it's definitely scripture for us not to be afraid. Okay? It is definitely scripture for not allowing the fear of everything that's going on a daily basis within our country and within our communities to overcome us to the point where we become useless to the cause of Christ. Okay, we could make 100 excuses of why never to come outside again. All right, but it's important that we don't allow that mindset to set in there. Some other examples that I found here. In each of those cases, the first words again were do not be afraid. When Paul was imprisoned, do not be afraid. When the early church faced persecution and even martyrdom at different stages, do not be afraid. And always with it the assurance that God is with you, God is in charge, God is able. Those words and those situations that we read about in the Word of God and the words then mean the exact same thing now. They haven't changed. God has not changed, okay? And it's important that we understand that and remember that. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, okay? He has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and the love and a sound mind, which means that through God, we can overcome that fear. We can defeat that fear. We can still be a useful vessel daily for God by overcoming and not allowing that fear to overwhelm us and to make us stagnant in our cause, in our work, whether it's our own professional work or whatever we're doing for God or supposed to be doing for God. Again, let's turn to Psalms 46, and let's go ahead and read that. And again, I love this passage in Psalms, or this chapter in Psalms, because the first thing it does is it jumps right out to you and tells you that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. All right, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in our trouble. That says it all there. Then in verses 2 and 3, we see a very bleak picture, okay? Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Again, verses 2 and 3 paint a very grim picture of what the situation is. But in spite of that grim picture, God is our refuge. God is in charge. We can overcome all of this with faith and not fear. All right? With fear, we're going to be useless to ourselves and to the cause of Christ. In verse 4, it goes on to say, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles and the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in the right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Wow. What a comment. What a statement. What an assurance that can be for us of just of the authority of God. In verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. That's exactly what we need to do. That's what we need to do daily, okay? And in times of trouble like this, maybe that's what we need to do hourly, all right? Until we understand and realize and remember that faith is going to see us through this. God is not going to abandon us. He has not abandoned us. He will not abandon us. He made promises. God is unable, is incapable of breaking those promises. And it's times like this within our country and within our community, even within our own families, that we need to remember that. We need to dwell on that. We need to focus on that. And that way we can continue, in spite of the fear and in spite of everything that's going on, we can still stand up and move forward. The assurance that these 11 verses give us must never be forgotten. And that's a point that I almost forgot to convey to you. One of the big things that works for me in my life is I try to remember at times when I'm discouraged or there's something going on in my life, I try to remember where it is God has brought me from, where God has brought me out of, okay, in a lot of situations, both personally and professionally. He has spared me, he has delivered me, he has encouraged me, he has lifted me up, he has brought me through things that I probably should have never been able to come through. And I know for a fact that I could have never gotten through without him, without the faith in him. And it's important in a time like this, especially in a time like this, that we remember the victories that we have won, both as individuals, as families, and as a congregation, and as believers in Christ and faithful Christians. It's important that we reflect back on the victories that we have won or the victories that we have seen God bring to being. Again, and not just currently. Is there anything better than reading that part of Scripture where by faith, okay, this was accomplished, by faith that was accomplished? I love that thing, because it just reminds us that in spite of all the circumstances, no matter what the circumstances, in some circumstances that you and I will never face, of biblical proportion, but God still delivered. Okay, God still delivered. And it's critical in a time like this that we be reminded of that. We be reminded of that in our daily devotions. We remind each other of that. And most of all, and most important, if we're reminded of that and we're living by that faith, and that faith is showing in spite of the circumstances around us, we're going to make a difference in somebody else's life. We're going to plant a seed of curiosity. We're going to see, you know, people are going to ask, why or how do you have that peace within you in spite of everything that's raging around us right now, right? And what's that going to lead to? That's going to lead to opportunities to share the gospel of Christ. That's going to lead to opportunities to change people's lives. But it starts with us. It starts with us. It starts with God's word. God promises that he won't abandon us, he won't leave us, and it's absolutely imperative that in a time like this that we dwell on that we focus it, that we absorb it within our daily lives. The problem with giving in to our fears, okay, and there's several, but we're going to look at three of them. The problem with giving in, giving our fears the upper hand, is that we can find ourselves overcome by them and even paralyzed by them. When a soldier enters combat, and I mean real combat, where he or she is on the ground and they're trying to advance on a point and they're taking gunfire, you know, it is our instinct, it is our survivability to drop to the ground, to get low, to get cut behind cover, and everything else like that. What makes it, what is it within a person's life or within a person's being that enables that individual to stand back up and keep advancing in spite of everything that's coming at that individual? It's faith, it's training, it's all of those different things that that can make a difference. And it's important that it's critical that in the battlefield, on a battlefield, that fear does not overcome and lock that individual up, because again, they'd be absolutely useless. They'd be a detriment to the rest of the soldiers or Marines on that battlefield. So it's important that they're able to overcome that fear. How much more is our ability as believers to overcome our fear? Because we have the power and the authority of God behind us. Okay, we have the promises of God behind us. So, you know, so we should be able to overcome anything, any type of fear that we face. Now, listen, and in no way, shape, or form am I trying to make light of what is going on in our country with the COVID and with the uprisings and everything else like that. That fear is real, okay? And fear is real, And we know that fear is an emotion. And we also know that fear can be a good thing at times. It can prevent you from doing some really stupid stuff, even as a teenager sometimes, you know. If my dad was still here, he would question that ability of reasoning within my own life because of some of the things that he would catch me doing, jumping off bridges and coal tipples and different things of that nature. But we'll talk about that later. But fear can sustain you. Fear can prevent you from being light, from doing foolish things or getting hurt, right? But at the same time, we can never allow it to get to the point in our life where it freezes us, where it makes us ineffective, both for whatever our responsibilities are at the time or for the cause of Christ. So, but what about faith? Where does faith come in on all this? Well, for one thing, our faith, all right, it will help us to put our focus on God, and that's where it needs to be, rather than our problem. In spite of our problem, our focus needs to be on God. It is in trusting God that we will be able to say with the psalmist, God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present help in trouble. All right, by focusing on God rather than our problem, the problem becomes more manageable. We know we are not alone, that God is with us. We look to God for our strength. We look to God for his help to make it through this this difficult time. By focusing on God, we are encouraged to give up or give in to the panic. Being still and knowing that God is God means experiencing a peace in our lives that quiets our fears. Can't emphasize that enough, to be still and realize who God is. Allow that peace to overwhelm us. Allow that peace to overcome that fear, and let it reflect in your life. Let others see it in your life. Okay. The Apostle Paul spoke of this peace of God that transcends all understandings, and we know that Paul spoke of this in many different points to throughout his ministry. Okay. We know some of the situations that Paul was in were just beyond explanation on. How God was going to see him through it, but God did. And that's important for us to remember, okay? We can still enjoy that sense of peace. It's the peace of God, a peace that only God can give when we trust in him, a peace that, as Paul says, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus at all times, all right? That can only come when we focus on God, and we can only focus on God with that faith and that trust in God. But be still and know that God is God. In other words, give faith the upper hand rather than your fear. The second thing that we want to point out, another problem with giving fear the upper hand is that it causes us to only focus on ourselves. If we are focused on ourselves because of this fear, how effective are we going to be in anything, whether it's our professional lives or our spiritual responsibilities for the cause of Christ? We're not going to be effective at all. Unfortunately, we live in a society that's all based on me, what's in it for me, different things of that nature. So when fear adds to that, again, it just makes us that much more ineffective. That's what we saw, and there was great examples of that, and I mentioned this earlier, when the COVID first hit the United States and we saw that panic buying, okay? Remember, the Clorox wipes were you couldn't find them. If you got them online, you were paying two or three times, what they were worth or what you used to pay for. We're not even going to talk about the toilet paper shortage again, all right? Just different things. But we saw human behavior unlike that we had seen in that magnitude that we had ever seen before. So with the different things that went on, okay, hoarding robbed others of the opportunity to provide for their own needs. Okay, that's why greed is exploited. It never fails. If you ever watch this, pay attention to this. The next time the United States has a natural disaster, a hurricane, tornadoes, especially like that, What you'll find is you'll find individuals that'll buy supplies that are badly needed from other parts of the country, drive them to that area, and then charge two or three times more than what it would normally cost you. I remember, some of the hurricanes, you could buy a sheet of plywood. I'm not sure what a sheet of plywood in the store costs nowadays, but I guarantee you along the roadsides and places where these people were selling plywood, generators, different things of that nature, they were inflating the price so much. So again, we see typical human behavior during a time here. And if we allow our fear to get the upper hand, this is how people behave. All right. Faith, on the other hand, focusing on God rather than our fears, enables us to focus on others' needs, not just our own. It allows compassion and generosity to rise up. And again, what a testament that can be. Okay. An unselfish spirit, an unselfish act during a difficult time like this or anything, what a testament that can be, all right? Compassion and generosity result from focusing on faith rather than our fear. And the third point that I want to make here, why it's important not to let fear get the upper hand, and something else faith can do rather than fear, it helps us to be spiritually well. Fear tears us down. Faith lifts us up. Fear focuses on the problem. Faith looks for the solution. Fear discourages and defeats us. Faith says, I am more than conqueror through God who loves me. Romans 8:37. Fear says, I am overcome. There is no hope. Faith says, I will be still and know that God is God. I will be still and remember who God is. I will be still and remember what God has already brought me through. I will be still and remember what God has already brought us through. By not allowing fear to overwhelm us in this extreme time, by keeping our focus on God, remembering who God is, what He has done for us, we can be a living testimony of God's grace, mercy, peace, joy, and love. And we must be, okay? We can show an unsaved world looking for answers, looking for peace, wondering about what is going on, and all the other things that God blesses us with that we already have it, and they can have it too. They can see God through us. It's important. It's critical that the world sees God through us. And one of the ways that they're going to see God through us is by having the faith and the understanding and the assurance from God that we're going to get through this or any other problem that comes at us. But it's absolutely imperative, especially now. I'll be honest with you. I listen to a lot of news, a lot of talk radio, different programs. I'm what you call probably a news junkie, especially during an election cycle. I love watching it. But it gets to the point where it actually brings me down, and I have to walk away from it. I do. I have to turn it off. And that's what we need to do. We need to turn the world off and turn our faith back on, all right? And remember that our faith and that our God is bigger than any breaking news, anything to come, anything that's already here. And we need to remind ourselves of that daily. And we need to remind our families of that daily and our neighbors and strangers, okay? We need to. It's absolutely imperative. And something else that we also must remember, we already have the victory, okay? How easy is it for us in all reality to forget that at times, though, and wonder, what is going to happen? Nobody, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that is more upset about what's happening to this beautiful country than I am, okay? Both personally and professionally, I hate seeing what is becoming of this country. In all aspects, and not just what's going on recently, but over the years and over the decades, all right? But we have to remember, we already have the victory. We have to remember that, and we have to dwell on that daily. And it's something that we must do. Any questions, comments? I think I finished a little bit early, but... and I know that's not a habit Pastor Vaughn wants me to get into, all right? But I tend to talk a little fast when I'm nervous, and I apologize for that. But So we're going to go ahead and dismiss early or break up into groups in prayer, whatever you want to do. Nick, if you would, again, you started us. If you would close us out, please, I'd appreciate it.